horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Monday from Churchill Downs, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And I didn't check with Casey, actually. Case, are we streaming? Are we okay on the stream? Or are we doing delay? I never checked back, actually, last night. Maybe one more day. Okay, all right, so maybe one more day on the stream, and you'll have the stream back to you as early as tomorrow, hopefully, and otherwise noon. It'll kick back off, and you'll be able to catch all of today, just 3 hours late and 3 hours behind. All right. Happy to be here, of course, and it's always amazing and special and unique, and it was even made more special and unique because we were able, Tina and I, to get to the Ville early. And she had a noon flight yesterday. We had the greatest week in her vacation and my, I guess, working vacation. And we left very early Saturday morning, and as we were driving, we realized, you know, we got such a good head start, wanted to be around Nashville or, you know, somewhere between Chattanooga and Nashville to get her noon flight yesterday. And at some point, we realized we can easily make Louisville today, Saturday. So I called. I said, "All right, let me see if my hotel can take me a day early, take us." And they said, "Oh no, we're sold out." And then I immediately realized, two Saturdays out, it's got to be thunder over Louisville, the nation's largest fireworks display. And I realized to myself, I said to Tina, "You're going to see something. You know, this is too unique of an opportunity for her to you know, see thunder." I mean, I've seen it, I don't know how many times. Enough times that, you know, I guess if you live here and you've seen it enough times and you've gone down to the waterfront, you know, a bunch of times, you know, you're quite content to watch it on television, which is not the same, to say the least. But she got to see the spectacle downtown and all the activity, and her visits here are so brief, have typically been. The biggest visit we ever had together here was when she came with me for Foster, and when we'd sort of prearranged that we were going to come for Stephen Foster, and then it turned out to be the celebration for American Pharoah's Triple Crown. And that ended up becoming, you know, a very unique and remarkable night here. So happy to be settling in at the Downs for these 2 weeks, and plenty of activity to discuss over the weekend. We will wade into it, and we'll dot the conversations this morning with quite a bit of the weekend activity, and of course the most pressing, I suppose, before we start in on works and so forth and arrivals and everything else, the most significant thing that happened, because it affects the field, you had the decision on Morello, and it became pretty clear that Morello, you know, considering that he had not worked since the Wood, and, you know, it certainly wasn't a surprise that Morello withdrew from Derby consideration, but Steve Asmussen's camp making that call, and that officially puts Pioneer of Medina into the field. And, in fact, he worked this morning. I put the video up. It was actually, Pletcher had been expecting to work him over the weekend, but ended up working just fine, and he put in a stiff, nice work, Pioneer of Medina. So the, and I'll get to that with Mike Welch later, sometime, depending on a couple of things, figure Mike Welch 10:30 or after, and maybe even 11. And he might, I probably will do it by phone, actually, with Mike today, because he, the rain's coming. You're going to get, there was just the lightest of misty sprinkle earlier during the, not even really during the training session, but we'll talk about the preparations on a wider basis. And of course, over the weekend, you had a lot of important works. In some cases, you know, this past weekend is the work that really counts toward Derby and Oaks starts, and we'll get everything from Mike in a little bit. The back to the field for a second, because if you have not had a chance to follow what's going on, there's there's going to be more activity, it appears, and we will be very interested to see how things may change. And that includes even the possibility of some horses that had previously withdrawn from consideration may pop back up on the list. And Darren Rogers, who you will hear from today, there will be the invocation. I no longer can take a chance with Darren that he'll visit later in the week, because his week gets out of control. So the invocation, the long running, welcome to Kentucky and everything that goes with it from Darren Rogers. That'll happen this morning. He's got a meeting coming up at 10. So sometime again, he and Welch expect, you know, 10:30 to 11:15. Migg will join us at 10. He's got a little bit of a tight schedule this morning, too. Dallas Stewart will join us in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk to Dallas about the upset in the Oaklawn Handicap. We'll get some other visits in as well from around the country. And we've got tons of racing to recap, and there were some really obviously notable performances, not the least of which was Latruska on Saturday in the Apple Blossom, as I wrote, still blossoming, still in bloom. And she was terrific, turning back the pressure from the two obvious, you know, the two major foes that were in pursuit, Harrier and Cece. So an Apple Blossom repeat for Latruska. But Dallas authors the upset with the Malibu Moon, Last Samurai, John Court. Very cool that John gets a win like this, and was certainly, I got beat. I think a lot of us got beat, but it's hard not to, you know, hard not to smile. And of course, you know, the whole Dallas Stewart, you know, don't put a line through it scenario. He's amazing. He's just amazing. And to that horse's credit, to Last Samurai's credit, he just kept plugging. He was not relenting, and it looked like, you know, it looked like he was going to settle for a minor award, essentially, and just kept at it and won pace and just ground it out. And meanwhile, Fearless and Plainsman, I mean, they ran their races. And I thought it was, I only used Fearless and Plainsman on most tickets, and even tried to single Fearless on a couple of spots. But, I mean, Last Samurai won with, you know, with authority at the end. He was finishing, and, you know, obviously Breeders' Cup Classic is the season-ending goal. We'll talk to Dallas about this win for Mr. Horton. This is a Stone Street bred out of the First Samurai Mare, Lady Samurai. And Malibu Moon, gone but never to be forgotten. Actually tried to, on Friday, tried to buy a New York bred Malibu Moon. And was turned back by Rick Schosberg. Fairly late in the sale on Friday. We'll talk about the sale results as well, which were outstanding. Remarkable. They had at least one seven-figure seller each day. They smashed their records. And in fact, I ran into Steve Margolis this morning in the grandstand and watching works. And he was talking. Margo said, he said they went as high. They went to 400,000 on a horse, which is, you know, a little bit past. Steve said their budget was 150 to 250, and he said they looked at 130 horses and got turned away at every single attempt. I mean, it was hard. It was at every level. It was hard to buy. I had a $35,000 budget on that horse on the day one, and had a $50,000 budget on Friday, and the one on Tuesday sold for $47,000. Nick Hines bought it, and Philly. Only looking at Phillies this spring, and then the one on Friday, $60,000. The Shaws. So congratulations. That was. It's got to be a clear sky, clear star, clear star. Clear skies, clear star, clear stars. I think is the partnership. So good luck to them with that Malibu Moon. I thought she was really, really nice. So it was tough sledding. But we'll get a sale recap in as well, and look at some of the big successes and some of the surprises. And I'm sure when Gary Young makes his appearance, we'll get Gary's final thoughts, as, of course, he bought the sale topper for Amer Zidane. Back to the kickoff and the introduction, the field. And I'm sure we'll discuss some of it with Darren as well. There are some horses who may have points already that would get them in. And there's horses that had kind of taken themselves out of consideration that may want in if the opportunity arises. And with Pioneer of Medina getting in, at a glance right now, the way things had been established, In Due Time would be the next horse to make it into the field based on what, you know, the communications department has been hearing and had been told. But there's some rumblings, as there often are. And, of course, we're also waiting and watching to see what... How about you? How about a live visit? No, you're gonna go to the restroom and you come back and you sit down with me. Don't shake your head. If you walk by, you're going to get roped in. Dallas Stewart live in just a minute. That was great. You thought I was going to call him. Not anymore. That's so great. All right. So Dallas, as soon as he comes back, it's perfect timing, actually. If there were no other movements, you're looking at In Due Time next into the field. Let's say early voting demures. That would get In Due Time in. And after that, Ethereal Road for D. Wayne. Eric Reed with Rich Strike, 21. So those on paper would be the next three in. However, some horses that have been seemingly out of contention. that have some interest. You know, horses you know, who think about who had come out that had points. Classic Causeway, for instance. Papa Cap is a horse that is sitting there in great shape. I mean, by all rights, if Papa Cap, if Mr. Russell and Cassie wanted to run and put themselves back into consideration, they would be next in based on points. They would supersede in due time based on the non-restricted stakes earnings level. So there's some intrigue that is yet to unfold. You know, other horses that were lurking that came out of consideration. Grantham was one with, I think, 21 points. That would be... All right, that would be... Let's see. They would. They actually. Grantham actually would have more. Has a little bit more earnings than Rich Strike, so they would jump in there. Anyway, my point is, there are rumblings about that some horses that you thought were out that may be pulled back in. Don't. And notably. Most notably, I mean, if a horse like Classic Causeway were to come back in, that's an impact. That's an impactful decision. All right. So anyway, keep that in mind. I just wanted to I did not want to stir the pot. No, I would. That's not that's not what I was doing. I just want people to be aware. That's you hit the bill and. There's chatter afoot. There's noise, and maybe it is noise. A few other before Dallas joins us. I will also mention Austin Reed is going to swing by. I want to check in up at Finger Lakes. It's opening day in Farmington. Wish them a terrific meet. And Tony Kahlo in the stand. It's also opening day at Thistledown. When was the last time you ran a horse in the Ohio Derby or something? Dallas Stewart sitting down with us, and not before he takes that call. I'll let him do that. There we go. All right. Big D. Slap that on there. Yeah, I know, right? There we go. And boink. That's it. I don't want to mess up that hair. Dallas Stewart joins us. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Oh, a pleasure to have you. I'm trying to think if I've ever had you. Maybe it's Saratoga in the backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes,
in the backyard. But you get a free barbecue sandwich with that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's just uncanny. It's uncanny, you know. You take the page from the Lucas playbook. You know, you want to be in races like the Oaklawn Handicap if you have a horse that seems to fit, that's mm-hmm. doing well, and you did it again. That's a huge win. Congratulations!
It really was. I mean, the horse ran great. He finished it off just beautiful. Had a great ride, and came back good.
I don't want to say he came out of nowhere per se, but you know what? Let me pull the chart out and take a look. I mean, was this was in all you know in mind and you know the end of meet goal for him?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we went in there early in the meet and he won a little stake, and then we came back and we didn't run very well. He had a little bit of an issue and we fixed him up just. You know, rehabbed him, and everything came together. And then we ran him in that mile and a half, and he ran a really good race.
Yeah,
that's
he
a
did.
Really good horse that beat him, right?
That's a specialist, yeah. That Lone Rock. I mean, that's a horse that...
Yeah, I was glad he didn't come back in the handicap, to be honest with you.
That's a good point.
So I was thinking that he might, and I was glad that he didn't draw up in there, because I think he'd have been a factor also.
this is a Malibu Moon Colt and a new stake winner, a new graded stake winner for the late stallion, and it sets him up. I mean, a 103 buyer, 102 buyer, career best fig, and he breaks the triple digit buyer level. And you know, this is a Stone Street bred, was a fairly modest purchase for Mr. Horton, $175,000.
Yeah, they picked him up at the sale, and they loved him at the farm, sent him in here last year. The horse is a real warrior. Like, if you can look at his PPs, he ran second on the turf here, and you can see where he was vanned off. And he had a really kind of a strange injury that he hyperextended some part of his leg. A new one on me, but he got through that too.
Wow.
And then he ran the great race at Parks. So he can go turf or dirt, but... you know, he's a real warrior.
Unbelievable. And, you know, obviously a $1 million race. Nice to win a $1 million race.
Nice if it had been two, but we'll take the one.
You're unbelievable. and I think, I'm going to guess that this puts him right at the doorstep. Yeah, it puts him at the doorstep of a $1 million earner.
Yeah, you know, and you want to, you know, think about the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Sure.
And work it, you know, work it back. How do we get there?
Well, that sounds like a stop at Saratoga for the Whitney.
That'd be a great place.
Right?
Love that spot.
And yeah,
get a free barbecue sandwich.
I'll have to take you out because, of course, we're not. I wish we'd. Don't get me started on this. If I could get Tina to, you know, she takes the summers off now. If she would run it, who picked this horse out?
It's equine. It's an outfit out of Lexington. Dr. Dave Lambert's crew.
Okay.
Yeah, they pick out his horses. They did
nice.
A terrific job.
Well, and...
Equine analysis, I think it is.
Well, for Mr. Horton, he's had so many nice successes, and he's just such a, you know, he's such a welcome entity.
Look, he's a warrior too, okay?
Right.
He likes to run, and it's not, you know, you don't ever have to ask him twice to run. You pick the spots, you train the horse, and you go get him. So... I've got quite a few horses for him.
Yeah, I made the point when I mentioned you were going to be on, and you know that you know, Last Samurai upsets this field, a little under 13-1, for John Court too. It's great for John.
Look, he rides a lot. He rides most of all their horses, you know. And,
yeah.
And, you know, he's had kind of an up and down year, but not a bad year, you know. But he got it all together for this race, and you know, hope he continues on. And he's a great guy. I've been great friends with him a long time. And he does a good job riding their horses. That's what it comes down to.
Well, how active a campaign coming out of this for this horse? How many starts? You know, maybe three starts between now and the fall.
I mean, we got to figure it out.
How does he come back? I mean, how does he take racing? He does have extended periods where it seems like, you know.
Well,
he
that's
can
what
campaign.
I mean. He got hurt, you know, and then he had a little issue in the Oaklawn. So he works through him. He's a warrior. So we'll just, you know, hopefully keep him healthy all the way through the year and pick the right spots.
Well, you picked the right spot on Saturday. And what did you think mid-stretch? I mean, he was sort of grinding along. Yeah, and then he had the finish.
Well, you know, a couple of guys on a couple of the handicappers and stuff, they said that, you know, he was probably the fittest horse in the race coming out of that mile and a half.
That's a good point.
So I agree with him.
Third off the layoff too, and you know, talk with the meet winding down at Oaklawn. You did send him in, and he did the little stake you mentioned was the poinsettia, one of the new Christmas era,
yeah.
The Advent and the poinsettia and all those kinds of things. Talk about the season for you at Oaklawn, and it feels like it's been kind of a grind, and that the 3 day a week has been a little maddening. You know, that everybody has to kind of wait 4 days
right.
to run again.
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging with the weather. You know, we have a really good assistant in there. Jay Cunningham did a great job. She's familiar, you know, with the circumstances there, being the weather, and you know what to do at when to not go out and be careful with the horses. And she did a great job for us there, and we had a really good outcome.
How many more you got to run there the next 2 weeks?
Just one. We got one for Friday. We enter today for the Bachelor. It's a 2-year-old.
Sure.
Murray Valline. He was 2-year-old champ, Louisiana bred. Unified Reports, his name.
Oh, yeah.
He ran into Lafayette. The track got a little slippery with him. Didn't work out for him, but he's a nice horse. He won his first three.
Speaking of running at Oaklawn and entering today, Hammer just sent me a text. He wants to know, how would bees?
Bees like that. Ain't nothing you can do when it's like that.
I love it. That's like, what's his name? Nobody, what's the basket? Oh, my God, going back to, New York. I'll think of it. Nobody believes how it be, but that's how it be.
It
bees like that. Exactly. It's a very similar scenario. Well, talk about what else is going on right here. Keeneland, three more days at Keeneland, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you set up for the season here.
Yeah, we got a couple left at Keeneland on Friday, a couple of real nice horses, Shadow Matter for Terry Finley, and we got a maiden for Mr. Horton, and then we started off here, we're getting our works all done here for the opening weekend, and we got some stake races to run in later on. We got Calvary Charge and a $1 million grass race for Rob Maselli and Terry Finley, and we got some other horses to run, so we should do okay.
Let me look at the entries for Spankster and you mentioned Spankster is the maiden,
yeah,
and Shadow Matter the
allowance horse, yeah.
Very, and I read sees fit to ride, as they
we'll take him.
As they say. What's the early speaking of grass? What's the early buzz? They just started to let horses gallop on the new turf course.
Well, we actually worked Calvary Charge yesterday. He worked really fast. Worked in a minute and change around the cones. We call it the dogs, and he's a real fast horse. We wanted him to work fast and be ready, but he came back very good this morning. Was impressed because there was really no kickback. They were just springing across the top of it. So, see how it goes. I'm not a grass expert, but we'll see.
It's a rich, dark. It's got a nice, dark look to it.
Good to me. It's green.
It's green, and it's not AstroTurf. It's the goods. Let me check in on a few horses, too, that will be circling back around, and particularly on the three-year-old front, because over the last few weekends, you had Strava run kind of evenly in the Lexington.
And ran good. Maybe just a little too far for him. He'll be competitive in the shorter races.
You're going to turn him back like the Pat Day kind of a thing, or
I might
lighter?
Come allowance race with him and then look at the Woody Stevens.
Perfect. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Who ran well kind of under the radar a little bit, going back to Keeneland, was Long Range Toddy.
Man, he ran great.
Right?
Actually, he was a Horton horse, and they sold him. And, I just wasn't really happy with the way he was running. I just didn't think he liked Oaklawn anymore. I just thought he fought the track and these people bought him, and I explained it to him what I thought and worked him here. Man, he worked 59 just easy. So I said, let's put him in this race, see how he does. He ran second. So he's going to come back in the Churchill Downs, 750, grade one.
Well, and see, that's got you written all over it. I mean,
you're just paying attention, and if the horse fits and he's training good.
Exactly.
Zenith Racing from Dubai, they own him now, so. They're very excited about.
How about the and you ran a trio in the Lafayette as well, Surfer Dude.
Surfer Dude ran good. He's going to come back in an allowance race, and then hopefully look to the Woody Stevens also later.
You mentioned Chess Chief coming out of the New Orleans Classic.
Well, he's on break just a little bit.
Okay.
But for the Ala Sheba, it'll be title ready. Nice horse.
How about Ben Diesel, the 3-year-old out of the Arkansas Derby?
I'm working on that. For the Pat Day mile.
Okay. That's good.
I'm working on it.
They may have to adjust the gate. There may be 20 for the Pat Day mile.
Is that what we're hearing?
Holy shit. Everybody says that. Everybody. Where are you going next? Pat Day mile.
Split it.
That's not a bad idea.
Pat Day wouldn't mind it.
No, there you
He'll
go.
He'll be there for us.
I got to ask, this is a little bit of a tough one, and I was on hand in New Orleans for one of the races. Binko has been up and down.
Not really. I mean, he ran great first time. Then we came back. We stretched him out. He threw a shoe. didn't run good, came back and ran a great race, was second and nine and change. So we're going a mile on Derby Day. He's training great.
Of course, you ran into, you mentioned nine and change. Those maiden races.
Where's that horse going?
I don't know. Marsalis? I don't know.
Oh, I didn't? Okay.
I don't know where they are with him.
Okay.
But that was the one that also ran into, you know, where Asmussen, who doesn't, you know, he's boastful. He'll push a horse on with me on the air when we ask him. But he was talking that Marsalis going back to Risen Star Day.
He's a fast horse.
And he said he's going to run in sub 10, and he did. But Fletcher beat him that day.
Well, what I told Terry was, I said, if we get beat today, it'll be too short for us. So I think Vinco's going to be beautiful going a mile.
Going the mile, the one-turn
mile here. We put blinkers on him, and he's a very nice horse.
And you also, that Amancet, right, as well.
As for Randy Bradshaw, she's going to go long on the turf on the 4th. Mike Smith's going to ride her. We're excited about that.
Excellent. So I think you're sitting on, it feels like you're sitting on.
Well, every race is damn near a stake, you know. I mean, the $120,000 races, that's serious money.
Exactly.
And of course, we're paying serious money for them, too.
Well, and that, you know, that part of it, yeah, Vinco was 1.5?
Yeah, it's 1.5 million, you know.
What? Did you, I was at OBS for March. Were you active last week?
Yeah, we bought a couple. Laurie Gervais, who owns a piece of Vinco, partnered up with Terry Finley again, and we bought a Run Happy filly, very nice filly, worked 9-4. And then my man David Berman on our own stable.
Oh, yeah.
Bought an Empire Maker filly for $195, and Terry bought me a couple more colts, so it was good.
What's your approach? And I know, you know, they're all individuals per se, but do you let a little air out of them after a 2-year-old sale?
You know, every year's a little bit different, you know, looking at what you got and how they worked. And so they're over at Rebecca Makers in Lexington, which she does that. She rehabs a lot for me and for other people. Great, great person, great trainer, you know, gets her hands on every horse. Can't say enough good things about her. Glad to have her, and she's rehabbed a lot of winners for me.
A couple of other names to throw at you. Sequest.
Doing well. You know, maybe an allowance, maybe the Black-Eyed Susie. She's doing very well.
Excellent. All right, because that I was there for that. For the
yeah.
Nice. Coming out of the... Well, How soon are 2-year-old other any other 2-year-olds that you're going to fire?
Not really, a little bit slower coming in this year. Last year they were firing in pretty early, and we got to run a lot of them, but not many of them showed up. We can't train them if we don't have them, so you know they'll be here sooner or later, hopefully.
Since Saratoga did come up, and because you know for years you've enjoyed coming, but you also kind of threw your hands up a couple of summers ago with when the labor situation was just untenable. You're gonna send a full string this summer, you think?
Well, I mean, we only bring probably, you know, 6 to 10. It's kind of where we're at. So, yeah, we look forward to going every year.
Excellent. All right.
Really do.
You're a welcome presence around.
Love being there.
Around Saratoga. Well, obviously, with a win like that, the Oaklawn handicap, normally that would be, you know, kind of the end of the meet. They got a little bit of a coda here these last two weekends, but the Racing Festival of the South, things wrap up. What'd you think of the filly and mare race earlier on the card?
Well, that Latruska, right?
She's yeah.
Just the real deal. I wish I owned her.
I was happy that she, you know, the people, you know, it's amazing how quickly everybody wants horses to hang around. Then when one hangs around, and the previous star, well, she's six, she doesn't look the same. It's like, what?
She's probably worried about $5 million, so.
Which way do you want it? I mean,
Yeah, she's great. She really lays it out there for us.
Well,
it's great to see.
Dallas Stewart, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Any messages for the faithful, Derby goers?
Just keep coming to the races. Look like everybody's enjoying the races. You know, we were at Keeneland yesterday, and it's a big crowd. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, a big crowd here at Churchill and Belmont. You know, so yeah, it's just racing's doing great.
Dallas Stewart, everybody. I appreciate it. Dallas, as always, great to get a face-to-face in and get a fresh picture, actually. Actually, let me get you without the headset. Nobody, no, everybody hates that headset. There we go. All right, you're in business. Thanks, D. I appreciate it. Dallas Stewart, everybody. And the Oaklawn Handicap win. The other stake from Saturday at Oaklawn, obviously Latruska. And actually, we should really, now that I think about it, let me try to reach Fausto Gutierrez. Would be, and Mike Welch just wandered through. So maybe if he's, I don't know if he's done his video that he records, we might slip Mike in early. That's a possibility. Homebrew, that Oaklawn steak. I looked at that Oaklawn steak, and it. It felt like it was confusing when you looked at it. And then what happens, you know, you spread wide and want to be prepared for anything. And, of course, the 1-5, Brad Cox wins and wins pretty much with authority. Home Brew, a street sense out of a Tappan Mare that Gary and Mary West home. Not only, yeah, it really was homebrewed out of one of their own. Omnitap. And actually, we could ask Sid. Sid probably involved in that. And this actually, you know, this was actually a May foal. Looking at this, right, noting this. This was third, make it the second start of the three-year-old season. Kelly Breen debuted this horse last September, and then it was shifted, and he won at First Asking, going 6 furlongs. That was September at Laurel. And from there, Brad Cox took over, included a one-mile December win at the beginning of the Oaklawn meet. In fact, I was there for that. I think I've probably got a picture of this horse now that I think about it. On opening day, right? December 4th, I think. Was that the opening? Was it the 3rd or the 4th? The Saturday, Sunday. And then tried the Smarty Jones. That was a little too much too soon. And, you know, gets this freshening. And we'll see. Maybe there's, you know, maybe this is one of those horses that, you know, just needed, you know, being a May foal, too, you know, just needed a little bit of time. You know, modest fig, 84 buyer. 102 as mentioned with Dallas for Last Samurai, and Latruska 103 in her win. A couple of other, you know what? Since I'm looking at this staring me in the face, Oaklawn, and we went in that direction. That actually, you know, that 103, by the way, that 103 pairs up her career top. She had a 103 in the FIPS, which will be her her goal next. So essentially, you know, kind of repeating, at least here at the beginning of the year, kind of you know, she substituted the Royal Delta for the Azari last year, or the Houston Ladies Classic. You know, she had a little bit more of an active, but, you know, coming out of the Breeders' Cup, Gutierrez taking her time. Taking time with her, and, you know, might be a little bit more of an abbreviated campaign getting her to Keeneland. You know, she did win the Spinster last year, and so she's got that Keeneland win. But, you know, much like last year, if you think about what, you know, what kind of a field is going to come together, take the existing, you know, older fillies and mares, including, you know, these three, plus Maracuja, who, you know, really got thumped a little bit here and was really never involved. But you take these top three, Latruska, Clairiere, and Cece, and some of the other fillies and mares in other parts of the country. Then you add in the three-year-olds by the time they get to the fall, this Oaks crowd that, you know, shaping up for just a fabulous potential showdown in the Oaks week from Friday. Feels like the Philly and Mayor division is going to be, is only going to gather momentum as the season goes on. The rest of the Oaklawn notable performances, after Letruska, that was, it proved out to be a tricky, the middle sequence was not easy. We did have a couple, of very nice successes actually at Oaklawn on Saturday. Got stopped in the multis, you know, notably by Last Samurai. But and I got to tell you, going back, when you look at the, particularly at the Figs, and you look, you know, as a Thorograph user, for instance, I mean, Last Samurai was competitive. It's not as if, you know, it's not as if he was, you know, just completely outclassed on paper going in. I mean, I was focused on, you know, on Fearless and Plainsman, and then for prices, I tinkered with Beau Lumiere and Idol, and neither one of them impacted. And as it turned out, you know, Last Samurai figure wise was better than Beau Lumiere. So, was usable, and especially, you know, if you're a Dallas fan. One win mid-card that was absolutely projectable was that Raymond. I talked about with Scott Shapiro on Friday, and you got a decent number there. You got over 5-1, 1240. For Raymond. And this was, as mentioned, this was the Teen Pauline Into Mischief that they were forced to geld. And, you know, different horse now. The fact that they did that tells you a lot. I mean, because when you talk about a $1 million Into Mischief out of, you know, Stone Street's wonderful Teen Pauline, You don't, that's a stallion pedigree. You don't just geld a horse like this willy-nilly. you don't just wake up and say, you know, Raymond, I don't know, he's not, it doesn't look like he's going to be much, let's geld him. That's not the way you go about $1 million purchase, in this case, buyback for Stone Street. So, gelding him was notable, and he came back running. I he ran very well. I did not check the figure, actually. I'm curious now that I say it. But we did get 5-1, principally because the other Asmussen, who ran okay, that Mean Jakey chased and was second. I felt bad for Jimmy DeVito. I don't know, plausible denial is earning checks, nice checks, but not sure what it's going to take to get him over the top, to get him into the winner's circle. But Raymond for Stone Street and Peter Liddell, they break the maiden with Isaac Castillo aboard. I think, you know, the money gravitated of the two Asmussens to Mean Jakey, who just was not, to me, just didn't have the upside, but had Rosario. So that was, you know, that may have drawn some attention. That, you know, Isaac Castillo also had a nice win for Tim Martin in that starter allowance later on the card at a big price. Yeah, 18-1, 38-40 for Ultimate. That was a very hard race. I used, who did I use in there? I used Town Champ, I think I keyed off of. Yeah, 7-1 with Court. And it kind of was languishing early and no good. Drina's Star disappointed, I thought. Yeah, who else? Don't Forget, who ran an okay second, I guess. You know, got beat beat a neck when Ultimate ran him down. So Eastside Cool, that was kind of funny. Eastside Cool for Asmussen, who had overall a good day, and continues to pad his lead on the trainer standings. But that Eastside Cool got bet down from the 5-2 morning line. I mean, everybody piled on, and Rosario ended up at 3-5 almost. Yeah, paid 340. And then the get out race really was a get out race. I talked with Shap on Friday about UVC for Jerry Karum, and that the misfire on Rebel Day, and then comes back, not on Rebel Day, but was it Rebel Day? Maybe it was. Came back after that poor start, and completely, we got everything we wanted. It was ignored at the windows. Ended up at 17-1, paid 36.40, and J.E.'s hand-me-down, the Asmussen, that was, I think that would have been what? Would that have been his fourth on the day? But UVC gets us out in a big way, and I hope some of you came along there. That was okay, to say the least. You know what? Let me stay right here rather than gum up the works. Let me do the rest of the action. Keeneland and the... Hold on, because I got the aqueduct. And the actually, I should. You know what? I'll fold that in right here. Let me slip in the aqueduct, the two aqueduct races, the two stakes, because they were part, of course, of the cross country, and. Saturday, and I might as well put the Sunday in there. All right, hold on. Bear with us. There it is. All right. The the other two cross-country races, Dallas's win, put a little charge into the sequence, and also the upset of Berese in the Stallion Series race. In fact, there were upsets in both of the Stallion Series races. If you didn't notice yesterday, closing day at Aqueduct, yesterday it was Jimmy Bond with Ascendant Farms with the 25-1 shot, 24-1, 50-50 on Galaxina, the giant surprise that upset Yo-Cuz. Yo-Cuz was 35 cents on the dollar, and Berese was 30 cents on the dollar on Saturday. And it was Kaz Mike who went to the lead, Trevor McCarthy reading the tea leaves, and getting Kaz Mike from the 7 hole. Pretty slick. We'll talk about that with Mig, actually, next. You've had this gold rail in New York that makes it very difficult, and I don't know, I'm not sure what Dylan, what his thought process was, but Kaz Mike rides that. And I thought Kaz Mike, I made him second choice and the best value. I thought he was, the most interesting of the other horses beside Berese, and ran great. Peter Kazemias and the Kaz Hill operation. Kazemias churns out, it seems, every year. It seems like he churns out a nice horse or two for his operation. It's quite something. Paid 20.80 to win. That was the Times Square, right? Times Square was on Saturday. And then Chad, actually, you had very similar themes to the two open company races and the two New York races. You had the upset at short prices in both the Stallion Series. And these, you know, these are nice. $110,000 to the winner, $200,000 purses. And then in the Woodhaven, unanimous consent, you know, steadily and relentlessly as the 3-2 favorite with Manny Franco. And then Manny for Chad again, that one, you know, beating the likes of Fort Washington from Shug and Chanceau from Todd. And then on Sunday, you had some very nice two-year-olds returning as three-year-olds, making their seasonal debut. Consumer Spending, Pizza Bianca, and Sale By. And the three of them line up in here. The money gravitated to the Juvenile Philly Turf winner, Pizza Bianca. Then came Consumer Spending. Pizza Bianca, 90 cents, 245, a little under 5-2 for Consumer Spending. And Sale By was actually kind of ignored, 15-1. She ended up being the longest shot on the board, which I thought was a little strange. So Sale By set the pace, and Pizza Bianca took over. Manny Franco was very patient with Consumer Spending, and then the two hooked up, and Consumer Spending kind of easing to about the chart calls it 3/4 of a length, but Consumer Spending, you know, leaning forward. So, yet another division, this being the three-year-old fillies on the grass, another division enhanced by some seasonal debuts. Seems like every single week. I basically have been talking about the four-year-olds, but every division, sprinters have picked up the pace as well. So, good return for Pizza Bianca and Consumer Spending, and not bad at all for Leah and Jeff Treadway when it came to Consumer Spending. Let's go to Keeneland and get the Keeneland results. We've got about 5 minutes before the break. Malathat returns. Speaking of returnees, Malathat, your three-year-old filly champion. She comes back as a four-year-old filly and was very polished and professional, it seemed, winning the Double Dog Dare and setting her up for, I suppose, potentially, the Phipps confrontation with the likes of Latruska, etc. So we'll see. But 30 cents on the dollar for Malathat. And Bonnie South, you know, ran well. Ran very well to be second. And, you know, seemingly was you know, making some progress late at Malathat. But Johnny Velasquez easing forward with the Curlin filly. And there was a kind of a bittersweet, not even bittersweet, just kind of sad note, I thought, to this result. If you didn't notice this, it just happened that the three top finishers, of course, there was a dead heat for third, Super Quick and Lady Mystify, they both end up in a dead heat. And it just happened that Malathat, of course, is Shadwell, the late Sheikh Hamdan, and Judmont, Prince Khalid Abdullah, of course, the late Khalid, and Mary Lou. And, of course, John Hendrickson has, you know, gone on with it with Mary Lou Whitney Stables. But, you know, the fact that, you know, three just legendary, really legendary, owners and breeders and participants, in the industry, for decades on end, Shadwell, Judmont, and Mary Lou, an unusual, try on Friday. Turning to the Saturday action, and haven't asked. I mean, you know what? Maybe we. I don't know if we're gonna have time today for Shug, but I do want to get to Shug and talk to him about preps. He's got Kathleen O. She worked over the weekend at Keeneland, but that Scalding was very good, and we got a nice number on Scalding. I thought Scalding, you know, felt like the fresh face in that Ben Ally. And Javier Castellano, it's very funny. I got a text that made me smile from Chad Chexnader in New Orleans, saying how he kind of scored on Saturday. His number one bet was the Steve Bick angle, and that is the lone wolf. Javier Castellano in town to ride only Scalding. So, yeah, he gave up a day in New York. He and PJ choosing to hang on to Scalding. And that feels like it's a pretty wise decision. This is a horse now that's won four straight, for sure. Grandview and Cheyenne and Ellen J. Foxwoods. There's a nice modern ownership trio. This is a Nyquist out of Hot Water, Medaglia d'Oro mare, and Scalding is scalding hot right now, four straight. The maiden win at Gulfstream in the slop, and then the two wins at Tampa, very cleverly orchestrated by Shug, the allowance, and then the challenger win, and tops it off by going to Keeneland and winning the Ben Ally and knocking on the door, this four-year-old, of triple-digit buyer land, 97, career best buyer for Scalding. So, marching forward. Yeah, this is a horse that really has not taken a step backward. Then, of course, there was the Elkhorn and the, you know, the idea that, you know, there was going to be, you know, some nice pace with a whole bunch of horses that like to be on the front end in here, and the pace ended up being, you know, predictably, to some degree, moderate. Two Emmys, you know, went out with purpose, and two Emmys ended up going favored in here. It felt like the public in the Elkhorn had, you know, some real uncertainty about which way they wanted to go, and two Emmys ends up going favored, a little over 2-1. And second choice was Channel Maker at 7-2, and actually third choice, because Bemma's Boy, who felt like he was going to be, you know, potentially a little value, he ended up taking money and getting bet under 3-1. So 7-2 on Channel Maker, and you could see the way Saez was just comfortably raiding along, and when he gave Channel Maker the cue, he took over, and kind of, you know, a couple of horses, another mystery, and Bemis Boy kind of came at him. Bama Breeze was threatening out as well. So there were some horses that seemingly feeling like they were going to make their way into the mix, but it really never at that point was in doubt. Channel Maker, what a cool story! What a what a nice career! Now approaching $4 million in earnings. Well, three. What did he get out of this? $180,000. So yeah, he's $3.6 million in earnings. Eighth career win. And first stake score since the Joe Hirsch in 2020. And actually, this is a little bit of a interesting, at 8 years old, for him to start the season like this, pretty promising. So for Adam Wachtel and Gary Barber and Randy Hill, very nice way to, you know, they and that's a group that loves they love to race, they love to be involved. So nice weekend of racing at Keeneland. And yesterday I got to throw out a congratulations to Joe Besseker. Joe with a maiden breaker, a horse that's partnered with West Point B-Doc for Brian Dawkins, of course. This is a horse that was over $400,000 and last year at OBS, and you know, for Joe to name the horse B-Doc, you knew there was some expectation. I mean, he was getting, the read was that, you know, this was going to be a nice horse. It's taken him a little bit longer to break his maiden than they expected, fifth start, but he did it really nicely yesterday. I was looking at, I didn't see a fig this morning, but it may come back pretty moderate. I mean, he won off by a dozen lengths. But based on the winner, there was like a 50 claimer. Dale Romans won with. I think the fig's going to come back fairly moderate, 70 something ish. I don't think this. I mean, visually it's impressive. But I don't know how fast it really turned out to be. So let's take a break here. Mig's going to join us. Darren Rogers. How about a visit with Mike Welch to get the weekend work tab noted? I can tell you one. I'll tell you one. Top of the head, just went by this morning. 2 minute licking. It's like she was going to lift off. Cocktail moments. I don't need any fillies from the Oaks, muddling the picture. Thank you. But she looked terrific today. She looked absolutely great, zipping around. And I'll ask Mike about it. It was near the end of the session, and I'm sure Mike put the watch on her. Kind of interesting. Also, Chris Griffin. There's two stakes. Two Pennsylvania bred stakes today at Parks. The Paige McKenney and the Unique Bella. The Paige McKenney is fabulous. Really, really good betting race. So we'll get some opinion from Griffin. I told you Austin Reed is going to visit. We'll kick off the season at Finger Lakes. I don't want to miss an opportunity to shine the spotlight up there. Back after this, Rich Migliori. We're live at Churchill, just getting underway. Derby coverage brought to you by Horseshoe Indiana and much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at countrylifefarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred 2-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests.